That's my warm up. You know, yes. Everyone has a warm up. That's mine.
Yes. You don't do 20 dwarves doing handstands on the carpet?
Nope. I do. Coming up on TMS, when Radar forgot to ask permission.
The history of Santa in strange places.
Harold Camping is camping in the great campground in heaven.
Oh, shoot that guy's car if you're really mad.
Bieber says he's out after his next album.
Right. We have a Gilligan's Island movie on the way.
Recommendals.
Tom's Tech Time.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
The children were nestled all snug in their beds while visions of sugar cookies danced in their heads.
It just wouldn't be Christmas without baking Pillsbury sugar cookies. They're fun for the whole family. Just slice and bake. You get free stencils inside every package to trim a tree, light up a star, do your own thing. Get Pillsbury's Holiday Cookie Kit, found only in the dairy case.
And have a very Pillsbury Christmas.
Bread is almost as old as man.
The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream.
A delicious part of your nutritious breakfast. This is The Morning Stream.
The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Morning Stream. You might be familiar with it. Or maybe it's your first time. I don't know.
Yeah.
Think maybe. It could be?
Man, way to alienate the new folks. Nice job.
All right, so look, I every time I think that we're, you know, barking to the same dogs. Wait a minute, what? Every time I think we're talking to the same people over and over, someone will surprise me and go, "It's my first time. I loved it. I'm going to go listen to all of it."
Right.
And we need to be on our best behavior. You know, we got to show them our best side, so that they don't come in and go, "Well, this is shite. I'm not coming back to this."
It can't be all recurring jokes and inside humor and that sort of thing. We got to pretend that among our favorites, among the people who've been here forever and mm-hmm. who we love to see every morning in the chat in the tadpool mm-hmm. in the chat pool, Chadworth T pool,
right?
Of course.
If you want to get all formal about it, yeah.
That's right. Mm. We have to imagine that there's some new people saying, "Well, what's this?
What's the deal with this show?
Oh, it's just a couple guys talking into a camera, but all right, yeah, well, they got some news on there.
You call it the Morning Stream? Is that a reference to urination? Is that a urination reference?
That's pee, isn't it? You're talking about pee.
Well, that's pretty lowbrow. I don't know if I'm interested in such things. And then you go back and you find out that I never meant it that way in the beginning at all. That was my naive thing.
That's the funniest part.
Yeah. It's true, too. People don't believe me, but I just was like, we're going to stream it. It's going to be live. That's a big thing for me. I don't usually do that. Mm-hmm. It's going to be in the morning. TMS is a fun acronym. It's the Morning Stream. And then everybody would follow it up after I'd registered everything and got everything all set up. Then they come out of the woodwork going, "It's like pee." Oh.
Yeah, it's the funniest thing that... Yeah. You didn't think about that. I mean, it's like the first thing you do in the morning.
Yeah. It's like I was going to name my tour train. I was going to set up a business where I toured around the greater Cleveland area. I was going to call my train the Cleveland Steamer.
Oh, I can't understand why that wouldn't be.
No, it seems jovial and kind of old-timey. Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
I don't know what my problem was with that one. I still think that's fine.
Huh.
Turns out that... that drink I concocted, I was talking to the Coca-Cola people. There was a bidding war between them and the Pepsi people.
Right.
It was going to be called, it kind of had a lot of caffeine, so we were going to call it Donkey Punch.
Oh,
it was going to be fantastic.
Yeah.
Get a big glass, a big cold glass of Donkey Punch in the summer. Nope. Got shot down. Nobody's interested in that.
Hmm.
And then finally,
my superhero name was going to be the Dirty Sanchez.
Right, exactly.
I wore a big fake mustache, and
it was going to be a fun little. You could wear a luchadora mask, and
that's right. Yeah,
it was going to be awesome. But it turns out that's a thing somewhere. Somebody is distasteful. So what do we know?
All these people racing to the internet to find out.
Some of these things I recently learned myself, so don't feel bad if you don't know.
Some of them right here on the show.
Yeah, I'm kind of sad that I learned any of them, to be honest with you. I don't really need to know. I feel like I'm not better for it. I feel like perhaps I'm a little more aware if somebody says, I don't know. Like if somebody goes, What would they say? How would this even come up in conversation? The words Dirty and Sanchez are never going to come up in a conversation that isn't a good conversation.
I know. As a matter of fact, when I was trying to come up with what the lead-in was going to be to being able to say Dirty Sanchez, I could not come up.
Yeah. You know, I was going to say a taqueria, but that seemed racist somehow. Yeah, well, you know, Sanchez, geez. Mexican food.
Jeez.
I know.
Just assume that everyone with the last name Sanchez is Hispanic.
Right.
How could you assume that?
I don't know. I think it's a terrible,
assume that, Donna Chang?
All right. Well, hey, welcome back, everybody. Oh, we've coughed ourselves into a tizzy. It's Wednesday.
Sorry.
No, you're fine. Wednesday, December 18th, 2013, the original date of my eye appointment that then got bumped up because old lady died. So celebrate today as if it were the day I was finally getting in there, and it was still going to be another month of my surgery.
We do this this show in honor of her.
Yeah,
today's episode is dedicated to old lady that
Maud Finkelstein, who
spot got given up.
Yeah, gave up her eyes and her soul so that I, Scott Johnson, could go in there and put my big butt where her little butt would have been. Good times. It is a week before Christmas. I would remind you.
Yeah.
So there's that.
You have all your Christmas shopping done?
Nope. Not at all. Yeah. I do this every year.
Yeah.
And I say every year that I'm not going to do it again. And then I wait until the last possible minute. So it is not unusual to see me, Scott Johnson, and his son, Nicholas Scott Johnson, at Target at freaking 11:30 Christmas Eve. That is not an unusual occurrence.
You think Kim would like a Target gift card? How about a Shell gas station gift card? Do you think she'd like that?
How about that? Or iTunes? Or maybe this grill Pine enhancement scented, grill thing we got over Pine here.
Scented air freshener?
Yeah. This George Foreman, she didn't have one of those, right?
maybe she'd like a big box of food from somewhere around the world.
Yeah, that's even better. Hey, honey, you want some limited edition Oreos? Come on. It's a hell of a gift. So anyway, I don't like this about me. I'm going to try to get it all done before the weekend.
Cool.
And all I really have to worry about is, because all my online friends, I can do online things,
yeah,
you know, because you can't be there necessarily. I've already sent cards to everybody. So all I'm going to do is local family business, get out to a few. So we live in a much more populated space now. I can go to a dozen stores all within 5 minutes of here and find something for everyone. So it'll be fine.
Right.
Don't worry your little heads. I got a story to tell you about yesterday.
Okay.
We live in a world, Brian, where the internet can suck whatever it is you make and take it away, and someone else can find it and go, hey, I'll use that as if I made it.
Yes.
Do we not live in that time? We do.
Well, we even talked about that with Jury yesterday afternoon.
Sure did. Well, what timing? What ironic? Wait, that's not ironic. Not like rain on your wedding day. Coincidental. What a coincidence.
It's like a black fly in your Chardonnay.
Oh, I hate that song so much. I actually kind of like her, but I don't like that song.
Yeah.
Because it's wrong. I'm sitting around and I get once in a while this will happen. A fan will send me a link and say, I think someone's using your artwork without your permission or giving you credit. And I'm like, oh, here we go again. It's always happening. Mm-hmm. Happens a lot. And it's, for the most part, I've kind of accepted this as the normal thing, especially if it's somebody's Tumblr and they've cut out my signature. What are you going to do?
See, that's the slimiest part of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. If there's slime in the story, that's where it lies.
Yeah.
And it's not unusual for me to see it. It's not unusual to run into a blog and just go, oh, well, there's my 56 Geeks project just laying all over the place. This guy's used it to theme up his page or whatever. And if I can contact him, I do. And I just let people know, for the most part, depends on what you're doing, but for the most part, I would just give you permission. Mm-hmm. I would just say, yeah, thanks for asking. That's great. A link back would be nice. You know, that's awesome.
Right.
Thank you.
Exactly, yeah.
And they usually do. Like, if I'm going to give true credit to people, generally people contact me and ask. Mm-hmm. But occasionally something will show up. In some ways, it's been good because George Takei found my Admiral Snack Bar on Facebook with the signature cut out and somebody else replacing some of the caption stuff and kind of dinking with it. So it was totally bastardized, but he still found it that way, posted it. He was then informed, hey, that's Scott Johnson's. You should give him credit. And that's how they got in touch with me. And that's how I'm going to have my comic in his upcoming book. Right?
Oh, so, wow.
So that's awesome.
A little plagiarism works out well in that scenario.
Sometimes because enough people in the interim are doing the right thing in the follow-up. I still think the original guy is kind of a douche bucket. But everybody since then has done the right thing. Okay?
Right.
Fans have done the right thing. George Takei went, oh my, and then he did the right thing. Mm-hmm. And then I got,
oh my, I sure hope I give him some accreditation for his hard credit. Work.
That's right. I didn't know his favorite Star Trek featured me with no shirt and a foil. So that all worked out. But yesterday I get word that GamesRadar.com was using my blue prophecy, my Nintendo parody
right,
thing.
The shell, the turtle.
With the scripture that refers to the first shall be last and the last shall be first. And they put it up and used it as a header for some big article about the 10, you know, everything's top 10 list now.
Of course.
The 10 most competitive, you know, games or games that will make you hit your friend or whatever, or throw your controller or whatever it was. Something like that. And I've always liked Games Radar. It's a place I've referred to in the past. It's a place to do things and, you know, find news and whatnot. But they had put it up sort of nonchalant, zero accreditation, no sign of a signature. Like, this is a mainstream media outlet who did the thing that usually a dude on Tumblr or Reddit will do.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's
right.
To me, there's a distinction because those guys have accreditation policies. They have stuff in place to like do the right thing. They're supposed to anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I put a thing out on Twitter going, no thanks, no request, no nothing. And then put the post of the thing. And then, of course, Twitter went,
oh, yeah.
And got behind me, right?
Unleash the hounds.
Exactly. I was like, like Mel Gibson with a blue face telling them all to.
Right.
You know, take back our freedom. And so they freaked out and then they got in touch with me and turns out, okay, so long and the short of it is this. Dude who put it up like in a rush because he had to leave, had to fly out of the state for for Christmas time and posted it and ran, just had to go. And editor there got in touch with me over Twitter. And we had a little private conversation offline, and he told me the whole story. He's like, yeah, this, I don't know why he did this. He's young. He's a newer freelance writer. He's supposed to do this and follow up on these things. He probably found it through Google Images and just took it and hurried and left.
Right. So was your signature off of it?
Like, yeah. It was removed once again.
And I wonder if
there are images versions of it without it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the stinker too. Gosh, why do people do that in the first place? But anyway, so I said to him, well, it's as simple as this, guys. All he would have had to do is, if I do a Google search for Blue Prophecy, you get to me. So it's not like it's hard to find out who did it. Or if you're not sure what the name of that thing is, there's ways, is all I'm getting at.
So the title was still on there.
Yes. Everything was there that they could have searched around and found. I think he could have tracked it down. And if he couldn't have, then he probably shouldn't have used it, is the point. And so I said, but had he come to me and just said, hey, can I use it? For free, even, I'd just say yes.
Yeah.
It would have been zero problem.
And not only would you have said yes, you would have linked to their article.
Yeah.
And all the
I would have said, hey, check it out. Games Radar is using my thing. And you know, and they would have known it was all legit, and it would have been great. And he knows this. So anyway, they made good. Those guys were super apologetic. They pulled it down immediately, all that stuff. So, you know, we're all doing the right things in a weird situation. But it just reminded me how the internet is just this free-for-all. And to make matters worse, you could make a philosophical argument that in a way, my quote-unquote brilliant idea for an illustration is lifted from Nintendo ideas. In other words, that Blue Prophecy, that shell, the blue shell, is not my idea. That's the only reason I can riff on it is because it's a thing Nintendo made. So I'm taking from them in a way. It's not the same, but you know, I'm creating a parody based on something they made, and if they had never made that thing, I would never have a parody to make, and nobody would have a drawing to steal. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, it's a complicated thing, and I just want to acknowledge that I understand that it's complicated.
Yeah, but I mean, you're protected by parody. You're protected, you know, that's what you do is completely within your bounds.
Yeah.
What other people do, especially with the removing the signature, taking off any sort of attrition, is at the very least immoral.
Yeah, I would say that. And I would say to them, okay, to people who claim that it's I'm taking from Nintendo and then people are taking from me,
right.
So what's the difference? I would argue this, or I would say this. If I went and made a video game that had a bunch of kart racing bubbly head characters with a big blue shell in it, I would be taking from Nintendo.
Right.
What exactly. I am doing is making a comment on a cultural iconic moment thing, zeitgeist deal That's a normal thing. Everybody does it. Yeah. If you want to complain about that, complain to every political cartoonist. Complain to anybody who ever drew anything.
Trey Parker, Matt Stone.
Yes, everyone.
Yeah, exactly.
So Simpsons, it's not the same.
Futurama.
Right. Oh, speaking of which, I saw the best Futurama yesterday. We'll talk about it with Daryl because I have a question for him.
All right.
Anyway, so that went down. I just thought it was interesting, and I wanted to share with the listeners. But then, so while that's all going on, somebody sent me a description, and I believe this is taken from that Santa documentary I told you about.
Oh, the one you, becoming Santa?
Yeah, listen to what Santa's like over in another place that isn't here. Check this out.
Okay, all right.
Well, that's not it. That's a song called Superman. Hold on. Here it is right here. Sorry.
In Europe, St. Nicholas is usually accompanied by a variety of characters. In Austria, the character is Krampus, which is a devil figure.
Krampus.
In Germany, it's Knecht Ruprecht, who is a farm servant. In Czechoslovakia, it's a devil character and an angel. In the Netherlands, it's Zwarte Piet.
Zwarte Piet is Black Pete. He is a figure in the Netherlands that arrives with St. Nicholas, Sinterklaas. Zwarte Piet is a black man played by white people in blackface, painting their faces black. It's a pretty shocking tradition with a pretty shocking history.
So I'd heard
Mammy, how I love you, how I love you.
Mammy. Here's your presents. I'd heard this story before because David Sedaris has a bit in one of his books, and he's done readings of it on This American Life or something, but where he talks about specifically the Sinterklaas and this little Black Pete guy, and it's kind of a hoot. It's one of his best.
He's a sidekick. He's a Santa sidekick.
Exactly.
Right?
He is Robin to his Batman.
Gotcha.
And it's all normal over there. And they talk about how, there really are no black people in that part of the world, and so to them, this just seems like a, I don't know, what's it like?
It's like novelty,
you and I watching a movie about a Mongolian warrior chief. Well, how many Mongolians do you know?
Sure.
So you amp that up, and then the rest of the world's sensitive to it because they have to deal with actual racial things, and so it doesn't really bother me. But I love that everyone's got freaking Krampus.
I love Krampus. Have you seen the video of the festival, the Krampus festival?
Yes.
That is. Yes. That's such a great.
And is it Spain where they have the pooping boy? Have you heard about this?
No.
So you have a standard nativity scene. You got your baby Jesus and the little cradle deal.
Yeah.
You got your Joseph, Mary, and the three Stooges. The three wise men.
How about some frankincense?
That's Mary, you idiot. So it's that whole thing. It's very traditional. Manger, couple of goats, the normal thing. But then the fun of those is, and they do full life-size ones all the way down to the one you have on your little entryway table or whatever. But it's like all the way, all kinds of nativity scenes over there. And they have a little dude who's got his pants to his knees. He looks like he's from the 20s. And he's taking a crap. And there's like a poop. There's a crap halfway out his bung.
No.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And a little pile there. It's usually like a little piece where part of the ground is built out, and then there's a little poo on there, a little pile of poo.
Dropping a Yule log.
Yeah, and the fun of it is the kids have to try to find him. Like, take a look at the thing. Oh, look, Daddy, I found the pooping man. And there he is in the corner taking a dump by the donkey.
Somebody needs to find a picture of this.
The pooping man nativity. Here it is. Okay. Oh, Caganair is called. El Caganair, the pooping man, this hidden nativity scene.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, this isn't fake. It's rad is what it is.
I love the picture from the back.
Yeah. And he's just
you know what I think of your Christmas? Here's what I think of your Christmas.
Yeah. And he's just taking a shite in the middle of the nativity, which, is all, there's the star and the baby Jesus and then the pooping man.
What the heck?
I don't know what I can't. I couldn't tell you the story. I haven't looked it up to find out what the tradition, where it sprang from, whence it came. But it is awesome. What a great idea that is.
That is amazing.
Do you feel like a child who just found the pooping man?
Exactly.
A little bit.
I just can't believe this is. I can't believe this is a thing.
The Zwarte Piet and pooping man. Fantastic. All right. Before we call Daryl, I have a PSA real quick. AIE, Elia Iacta Est, our big flaming guild that's been around since forever and is huge and is the biggest guild in World of Warcraft.
And will not be sullen by anybody's hastily scrawled.
I missed this. Something went down.
Marker. Yeah.
Something went down?
Did you hear about that?
No, I didn't hear about it. Should I hear about it?
Like, well, it's sad. I mean, the shooter out in New Jersey.
Yeah.
Was it New Jersey? The shopping mall
Yeah, I
shooter
heard about this one, yeah.
Had Elia Iacta Est written. I'm sorry, no, this was the school. This was the school shooting.
Yeah.
Had Elia Iacta Est written in marker on his arm.
Yeah.
As well as the room numbers of the classrooms that he was going to go to.
Oh, my gosh. Well, the die has been cast is what that means. I assume it had nothing to do with the guild name, right?
I'm assuming so, yeah. I mean, it's not like it was...
Yeah, we stole that from Latin.
Right, exactly.
So exactly. I assume he was just saying, the die has been cast, and here's what I'm going to do, like, these terrible things.
Right.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
I don't like that at all.
No.
All right.
Horrendous.
So help out the guild, because they are doing their annual fundraiser. And
let's move to a good thing about with regard to AIE. Us.
Yeah, us. That's right.
That's a great thing. That
and they're good people, none of which would shoot up anything. They're fantastic human beings.
No.
They are 58% to their goal. They close this whole thing on December 31st. All you got to do is go to bit.ly/AIE fundraiser. That's the best way to get there. So that's bit.ly/AIE fundraiser and help them out. If you're a member of the guild and you want to give back a little bit to this great community, you can.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that needs to happen with AIE, like organization and get-togethers and events and appearances at BlizzCon and things like that this helps fund. So
yeah, none of this is profit. This is all operating costs, which usually comes out of the pockets of individuals who can't necessarily afford it but really want to help.
Mm-hmm.
The guild. So be a giver, not a quiver. What? I don't know what that means. All right, let's call Daryl. How about that? How about them apples?
Yes, let's call Daryl.
He's on Skype. Should we try him on Skype?
Sure.
Okay.
He sounds great when he's on Skype.
I agree. I think it's a good thing. All right, we're going to try that out. Here's his theme. It's Stump a Trek Nerd, brought to you by
Roanoke Cinemas. Please help save Roanoke Cinemas from going dark. They need your help to upgrade from 35mm film to a digital package. Roanoke Cinemas is currently using the old 35mm film projectors and will need to convert to a DCP projection system or its doors will be closed forever. We're using Kickstarter to do this. Help us provide entertainment for our local kids and families at tiny.cc/saveourmovies.
Do it. Do it
good
today.
I'm glad we've got a good tiny.cc for that too.
I made that yesterday because
save the clock tower.
That other URL was a beast.
Yes,
and, I felt like that would work better. Daryl, are you there?
I am.
We tried you on Skype, but no go.
I know my stupid thing didn't ring.
Oh, your stupid thing didn't ring.
It's a Christmas.
Daryl's a slam
poetry
poet.
Miracle.
Yeah, for Christmas poetry miracles. Right, Daryl. Had you heard of the pooping man? Is that news to you?
No, I've never heard of that.
You were the pooping man before your procedure yesterday.
But
it had nothing to do with Christmas. So, Daryl, it's great to have you back. I wanted to mention something real quick. You on Twitter had said, we're all huge fans of Futurama around here. And it is, I've gone on the record to say, if you were to strand me on a desert island and I could only take one show with me that I would only be able to watch forever, I think it would be that show. I can't think of anything I'd prefer over that. So, as infinitely rewatchable as it is, I've been enjoying this latest season kind of fresh. I haven't seen much of them, so I'm watching them all now. They're all on Netflix now. And I think it's some of their best work. I think it's maybe their best season. It's insane. The quality is off the charts. However, you said on Twitter yesterday you did not like the 3D printer episode. So I watched it this morning on the treadmill thinking I need to see what Daryl didn't see here. Or see what he saw and see if I agree. I really enjoyed it. What was wrong with it?
Parts of it were okay, but I guess it's like the worst Pixar movie. It's still good. It's just not the greatest thing ever.
Okay, all right. I will take that. That seems like a decent point. I mean, it was the follow up to the previous one, the ET one on Omicron Percy Guy 8, that was one of the best episodes I've ever seen. Which made me laugh incessantly, and all the ET references and the reference instead of Reese's Pieces, feces pieces, just about killed me. I was laughing my head off. And so maybe as a follow-up to that, it wasn't as good. But you're right. It's not terrible, but I wouldn't say it was the best episode of the season by any stretch.
Yeah, it's this whole country singer stuff that I was just, why is that funny? I'll bet
Brian would like it more because it was a lot of Johnny Cash references.
I'd love to check that out.
Yeah, it was good. It was a lot of fun.
I need to totally get caught up with Futurama. And you're saying, everything's on Netflix now,
it's all
right?
up there now. All the movies, good. Everything. And they call it 10 seasons, even though it's not.
Right.
It's weird how they're doing that. They count those movies as like a whole season or something, and I don't know what they're doing over there at Netflix, but this is some of their best work. And the one I saw about Fry going back to figure out what the tone is, that's called Game of Tones, I talked about yesterday.
Oh yeah, right.
That is one of the best episodes they've ever made. It was so freaking good, and it had something for everybody, and it made my daughter cry. So there you go.
Of course it did.
Daryl, it's time for stumping you. It's time to take you and stump you. Time for stumping, Daryl. Here's your hard trivia question, Star Trek related. If you're new to the show, we do this every day. Daryl's a Trek nerd, so that's why we do it. Yesterday, Mike Dunn goofed, by the way. He thought Geordi said chlorine when he actually said fluorine, which sounds a lot like chlorine. The script can actually verify it. We're giving you credit, Daryl. So it is not chlorine. It is fluorine. You were right. We are giving you that win back for yesterday. So you're having a perfect week. You just didn't know it.
Very cool.
Well, you know what?
Yeah.
I don't think that was even my guess, was it? I thought I guessed potassium chloride.
Oh, no. You said fluorine. And then the guy said, he said fluorine, and that was wrong. Because it was the one he did. Or no, what was the deal? No, you said potassium chloride was butt juice, so don't do that one.
Right. Remember? I think the fact that the question, regardless of what your answer was, Daryl, the fact that the question was flawed.
Yeah, well, that was an automatic win either way.
Goes in your favor. That's what they would do in Jeopardy.
Yeah, if only I saved these files somewhere, we could go back and listen.
I discussed it with the judges, and we've decided to award you the points for the Daily Double.
Yeah.
It is your board.
Yeah, so you take it. All right, Daryl, let's get back to a new question here. Here's today's question. In the Next Generation episode, First Contact. I thought that was a movie. I guess it was. Commander Riker is disguised as an alien on a planet where they have yet to make first contact. He gets injured on a mission and is brought to a hospital. The doctors notice differences in his body, such as his hands. Riker says he is from a different continent on the planet. What continent does he say he is from? Is it A, the northern one, B, the eastern one, C, the southern one, or D, the western one? You probably could have guessed what they were all going to be after I said northern, but yes, northern, eastern, southern, or western. All right. While you think about it, it's going to be a tough one. And I'm trying to find my clips. Here we go.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Watch a foodie.
We're going to eat two things today from Australia, something called Cadbury Flake.
I could have sworn we've had Flake before on the show. It's fantastic. It's like, it's like chocolate
air
sponge.
Yeah. I think we have had it. We've had small versions of this.
Right. But it is fantastic.
I don't like that it's twisted on the end and just open.
It's not. It's twisted on the end, but it's...
mine's open.
Is it really open?
Yeah. Oh. On both sides. So it just...
I can't find my Australian stuff.
Oh.
Well, that's just like... Oh, yeah, I guess it is. It's, you know,
oh, here it is.
A Jolly Rancher.
It's just how they do it? That's fine. Oh, you're good point. Good point. I eat Jolly Ranchers all the time. We thought we were real funny in high school. We called them gay farmers. It's not very nice to say now.
No,
I don't think so at all.
The Jolly Rancher factory actually used to be, it's like a mile away from where my house is now. And when you drove down Ward Road, right by the Jolly Rancher plant, you could smell whatever flavor they were making that day.
What was your favorite? I liked grape and I liked watermelon.
Fire sticks was the best.
Fire sticks were good. Yeah. They're probably responsible for most of my dental work, those things. I ate a lot of them. All right. Wow. That's, mine's kind of gnarly looking. Mm-hmm. Like it has growths on it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. All barnacle-y.
That's what it's supposed to look like.
Kind of like if you had a colonoscopy and there was something wrong, this is what it would be like.
Oh, I do love this.
Yeah.
I forgot about how much I like these. Oh, that's quite good. Oh, get the hints. I can't eat that whole thing. I'm supposed to be off sugar, except for tasting things.
Really? Wow.
I'm supposed to be.
Supposed to be.
Do you notice their little tiny...
After your banana split Oreo OD.
Yeah. No doubt. Can we also have in our... these came from Mary, right?
Yes, the Cadbury Flake didn't. The Cadbury Flake came... Oh, and I already put the box way over there.
Australian man.
Australian listener. I want to give him credit. Hold on a sec.
Okay. This other one, Daryl, we're opening is the Rice Krispie looking thing. Except the if rice was like that episode of Gilligan's Island where they had giant vegetables show up. You know the one? You know the one I mean? They're all nuked or something, and everyone ate them, and then like Gilligan had supervision because he ate carrots, and I think super strength for the skipper and things like that.
Mirren Davies from New South Wales, Australia, was nice enough to send us the all the Australian treats that we've enjoyed on the show.
This Chinese mutant rice cake thing smells not good.
Oh, no, really? Oh,
well,
shoot.
Give it a whiff. Give it a whiff. Tell me what you think here.
Wrapped in plastic?
Is it wrapped in plastic?
Okay.
Oh, by the way, can wrapped I throw out a big, plastic. while I'm unwrapping this, I need to throw out a humongous thank you to our listener, Whispera. Mm. Whispera was my Secret Santa this year in the Tadpole Secret Santa deal. Mm-hmm. And, God, awesome big box of Hawaiian treats and goodies like Kona coffee and chocolate covered macadamia nuts, and even one of their little wooden ball and string games that
those are great.
I was having a blast with until the ball dropped on my dog's head because she got too close. Well, she'll learn.
Brian's balls are always dropping. That's very nice. Good for you. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So I didn't participate. I don't know why. I kept forgetting.
Because you never participate.
I want to. I mean to.
I know. Well, you were busy with the move and stuff. I think people understand that.
I hope so. Because
as much as they would have loved to receive a big Scott Johnson package.
I got a hell of a package. You should see it. It's full of all kinds.
It's a very attractive package.
That's exactly right.
Very attractive package.
There you go. So... let's take a bite of this. It doesn't smell good, though.
I'm not smelling it. I'm worried now.
Smell
it. Looks like a rice.
Mine smells fine.
Does it?
Oh, yeah. Mine smells like raisins.
Not mine, dude.
It looks like a Rice Krispie treat that was made with
packing peanuts.
Quisp instead of Rice Krispies.
Yeah.
Remember the cereal Quisp?
I do remember Quisp. I hate the word, though.
Quisp.
Quisp. What do you have for breakfast? Quisp that your mom makes you? Quisp.
Quiz.
I hate that so much. All right, I'm going to take a bite.
Oh, this isn't that good.
No, it's not.
Yeah, that tastes like that's horse anus. I don't want that. I'm not going to eat that anymore. Oh, boy. And I'm definitely not going to put one of those raisins in my system. I don't know where those have been.
Yeah, that's not so good.
Nope. That's weird. Now
it's
it makes me
terrible.
Now I'm worried about those weird burger-looking things that are in there. You see those burgers in that bag? Little mini burgers?
No, huh?
Oh, my gosh. They look terrifying. All right. We'll do those next time. Huh. Oh, wow. Not such a very attractive package.
Very attractive package.
No, not one. Not one.
Nailed it.
Beware of Quisp wrapped in plastic.
Wrapped in plastic.
All right. Let's get on this thing here, Daryl. Birthdays. You got one?
Yeah, I do. Great. Oh, what a mess. This chocolate thing just crumbled absolutely everywhere.
I know.
Everywhere.
You've got it. Yeah, it's...
And you, now you got to really be careful because it'll melt like in the creases and crevices of skin you didn't know you had and stuff.
Right. Wherever you sit down, your chair, it'll be right in the worst possible place.
Yep.
Yeah.
Get up with this.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
Birthdays. We have Susan Sackett. She is 70 today. She was Gene Roddenberry's production associate from 1974 until Gene passed away.
She's also the patron saint of film sack. What's her first name?
Susan
Sackett. Sackett. Susan Sackett. Yeah. She. We think of her often as we film.
That's
sack.
Actually why we do the live stream or the commentary tracks.
Yeah, it should seem obvious, but I mean, if you don't know. Yeah. Anyway, well, that's great. Happy birthday to her. Wait, she's dead or alive?
No, she's still around. She's
okay.
Yay.
That's good. We like them when they're still around. She's the age of... She's 70, you say?
Mm-hmm.
She's as old as Mick Jagger. Put that in your pants and sit
Keith
on.
Richards actually is the one who had his birthday today.
That's right. They're both 70 now.
18.
Those two.
Oh, wow.
Good deal. Well, on to your question then. The Northern Continent, Eastern Continent, Southern Continent, or Western Continent are the places that Riker lied about saying he came from because his hands were weird. Which seems weird, because if you knew there were other continents on a planet, you'd probably seen some of those people before. And to say that the big difference is your hands are different, eh, that's a real dumb idea. But whatever. There you have it. So what do you say, northern, eastern, southern, or western?
Well, let's see. I really like this episode. This is a good episode.
Me too. Oh, I thought you meant this show we're on right now.
This is a good episode, well, too.
Oh, it is. Pretty good.
It's okay.
Anyway, yeah, I remember it being okay. It wasn't the greatest Star Trek, but it was all right.
I liked it a lot. I'd put it in my top 20.
Wow, it's not bad. Right behind the one where Barkley became a bug. You like that one?
No, that's bottom 20. That's bottom
good.
Three.
Okay, but yeah, me too. That's terrible. Now, you did get flipped off by Cro-Magnon Riker, though. That's good timing there. All right, sorry. Continue on.
Okay. Northeast, southwest. My first thought was south, just because it sounded like the
southern?
Answer.
Because it sounded like the answer, or it sounded southern?
Yeah. I just kind of remember it being south, but that doesn't mean my memory is right.
Well, you never know.
Maybe I'll just stick with that.
You okay with that?
Not very exciting, but yeah.
Well, that's all right. Doesn't need to be. Sometimes we're just here to make funny sounds.
Mm-hmm.
So here it is. Let's find out. Judges, is it the southern continent?
Congratulations!
Good going with your gut.
You're a winner!
Go with your gut every time. The Southern Continent, he tells the doctor he's from the southern continent of the planet. A female doctor agrees to help Riker escape under the condition that he make love to her. Here's a clip.
I don't belong here. I have to get back on my ship in space.
I believe you.
Now, will you help me?
If you make love to me.
What? Yes.
I've always wanted to make love with an alien.
Yes. Listen, miss...
Lanell.
Miss Crane.
I really have to get going. All the other aliens are waiting for me.
Oh, it's not so much to ask. And then I'll help you escape.
It's not that easy. There are differences in the way that my people make love.
I can't wait to learn.
But it's...
It's your only way out of here.
Why is this in your top 20? This is
well,
awful.
That's not the best scene, but...
It's a horrible scene. Oh, Lilith Crane trying to get it on with Riker.
You mean the only way that I can make it off this planet is by having sex with you?
Okay, fine.
Okay.
But our people do it differently. That's
maybe newer. Yes, right.
Yeah, I want to know what the difference was. They didn't really get
how
into that.
How are you structured down there, Lilith?
It's like that Futurama where what happened? Oh, Fry's trying to make it with a mermaid.
It was the mermaid, right? But it was the flip version of the mermaid, right?
He goes, no, he goes. At some point, he's going, oh, I wish the fish part was
right,
on top
right.
And the lady part was on the bottom or whatever.
That's right. That's what it was.
It was the lost city of Atlanta. What a fantastic episode that was. That's in my top 20 Futuramas right there.
That's great.
All right, Daryl, good job. Way to go. We got one more day to prove that you truly are the master of Star Trek in this week of our Lord, December 18th, 2013.
The week
of our Lord. You never hear that, do you? It's not a common thing. It's a little bit disturbing.
It's very disturbing.
This is really rather disturbing.
I agree, Third Eagle. Daryl, good job. We'll see you tomorrow for a whole other way of doing this, and I don't know what that means, but you are the Trek Nerd on Twitter. The Trek Nerd on Twitter, and also on This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com. Please, won't you? Sorry, someone just walked in the room and scared me. Please have a good day. Oh, what are you going to do? Your little contest thing. Do that.
Okay.
Your little contest thing.
Sorry. What do you got? Oh, wait. We have a theme for you. There you go. And now, our special presentation.
I love that. You should play that every single day.
All right, great. What do you got, Daryl?
Star Trek thing or candy bar? And this is the last one of these. So.
Oh, okay, good. Star Trek thing or candy bar? Go.
Admiral Flake.
Scott's Cluster.
Scott's Cluster.
Scott's Cluster.
Oh, man, this is a good one because it could be either. I'm going to say...
Is that what they found in the transporter beam?
What they found in the eye doctor's office.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
I'm going to say it's a candy bar.
I'm going to agree. I think this is a tricky question. I think it's going to be a real candy bar.
Wow, you swept this. It is a candy bar.
Yeah, look at us with our perfect thing going on here. I'm impressed with us, Brian.
Yes, darn right.
Stand back and look at us. the news.
And it's brought to you by the following. Hi, my name is Lenny, and I'm a former fat guy. A couple of years ago, I decided to hop into a department store to buy a CD I wanted. I was in a hurry, so I ran up the flight of stairs and jogged to the part of the store where I knew the CD was. Boom, boom, I looked around and realized the shelves were shaking. Boom, boom, it was a bit like in Jurassic Park. All that was missing was the glass with the water ripples and the CGI dinosaur.
To be continued. Ooh, we may have a weird theme today. All right, here's some news before we get to actual news. On camera and standing near me is Sarah Brown, who today is doing a thing that she'll now explain. So, Sarah, do you want to explain it?
Okay, quick shout out to Steve Brown,
who is married for 20 years today.
Happy anniversary! On a freezing cold December day, 1 week before Christmas. Our parents thought we were crazy, but
I remember Kim was super pregnant, weren't you?
Super pregnant.
Like over pregnant with Taylor, but she wasn't born until May. But you were so pregnant. Yeah, what was going on with that?
Who gets married a week before Christmas?
Oh, wow. You're in trouble now.
All right, so...
Love you.
All right, have a good day. Happy 20 years to you and Steve, hopefully. Is he listening live right now? All right, happy anniversary to Steve. May you have another 20. And what else do you even say?
May all his V-joists fit correctly.
Yes.
And whatever those are.
Well, I don't know what those are either.
It's a wood thing, isn't it?
Is it a thing? Is it a wood thing? I don't know.
I don't know.
May my office stand for a billion years. How about that? That seems selfish, doesn't it, a little bit?
It does, yes.
On their special day?
Exactly.
Oh, jeez. All right. Hey, Doomsday Minister.
You do a good job with my room.
So you remember Harold Camping.
He's the guy who did all those interviews, right? He was like a big. He did tons of interviews.
I think he was. I think you're thinking of. The one that said no more interviews, though. He got tired of doing interviews, and I can't find the clip.
I was hoping to lead into that clip.
I'm having a hard time. Interview. Oh, here it is. Here's Harold Camping as we knew him then.
No interviews. No interviews.
No interviews. Well, I guess he's dead now, so we shouldn't be as mean. Yeah. But he died at the ripe old age of 92. Mm. Harold Camping.
His days of predicting the end of the world have come to an end.
Yep, he's done. He picked doomsday dates that didn't happen. I think he still has a couple floating out there that haven't come yet, but I have a prediction that they probably won't amount to anything. Family radio network marketer manager Nina Romero and Harold Camping, a retired civil engineer who built a worldwide following for the nonprofit Oakland-based ministry he founded in 1958, has died at his home on Sunday. He had been hospitalized shortly after falling. I guess he took a dive there. Camping's most widely spread prediction was that the rapture would happen on May 21st, 2011. That was a while ago, geez. Mm-hmm. His independent Christian media empire spent millions of dollars, some of it from donations made by followers who quit their jobs and sold all their possessions to spread the word on more than 5,000 billboards and 20 RVs plastered with the Judgment Day message.
I like that RVs are used as a method of disseminating information these days.
And thus, in the final days, your recreation vehicles will have the Lord's word on them. That does seem weird.
So he correctly predicted the end of the world. He's just way off.
On the dates, yeah.
Potentially a billion years.
Well, here, Brian, here's me predicting. I'll make a prediction. The world will end at some point.
Yes.
Done.
There.
I'm not giving you dates. Yeah. I'm not giving you times.
Exactly. You can't, and you're guaranteed because at some point our sun will grow in size and engulf the inner planets.
Yeah, there's no way around it.
It's just going to happen.
Ticking time bomb, folks.
That's right.
You will likely not be here, but...
The sun will twerk.
Uh-huh.
Twerk up and engulf.
Well, there's two ways it'll go. It'll go the Sunshine We're Out movie, or it'll go the other one. What was the other one I saw? Oh, Hell. It'll go like Hell. If you guys have seen Hell, this German movie that's on Netflix, which is freaking awesome. I love it.
No, I haven't seen
it. It's really good. It's like post-apocalyptic. The sun has gotten too big. You can barely be outside for more than a minute, cover yourself up completely kind of movie. It's great. It's great.
Sounds really 4 billion years is what Iron Man says. So he's predicting.
Well, then I'm not here for that.
The tadpole needs to put their time predictions like they do with Stump a Trek Nerd.
Yeah, I agree. That'd be great. So he's gone, and we'll now have no one to tell us what to expect, and no RVs with the message on them.
Mm-hmm. And now everybody can give interviews again.
Hey, everybody, back to interviews. And here's the other thing. Do the people that gave all that money and quit their jobs and dumped their life savings onto this guy, what do they get out of this? Did they get any recourse? Could they do anything?
No, I don't think so. It was completely their choice. That it's like sucks.
I guess if you're that dumb, maybe Tom and I will take all these
stupid
current
people shouldn't have possessions anyway.
Right, exactly. If Tom and I are
Darwinism,
if Tom and I are to, if we're to live up to this standard, we should take all these current geek donations and just go to Mexico or something with them.
Right.
And then what are you going to do?
You should take anybody that you've got planned for guests for the second episode and just go to Cabo San Lucas.
Oh, okay. Actually, we want you on that. So.
Oh, really?
You're doing. I see what you've done. Sneaky.
Notice I didn't say the first episode.
Yeah, pretty sneaky, sis. Willie Mitchell.
Yes.
Shot a car of a Walmart employee of the month. According to so Willie Mitchell works at Walmart. Mm-hmm. Another dude got employee of the month, and Willie Mitchell shot that guy's car.
I'm guessing Willie Mitchell doesn't work for Walmart anymore.
Nope, I'm guessing not, but he does come from Florida. So hunker down and let me tell you a tale here. A Florida Walmart employee.
Florida man,
once again, rearing his ugly face. Faces charges after officials say he shot a coworker's car window because she won employee of the month. Oh, I guess it was not a dude, it was a lady who was employee of the month. Sonia Diogene, would you say that?
I guess Diogene.
Or if it's it's the elusive Diogene, which will let you sing heavy metal at large.
Wonder what that evolves into in its second iteration.
That's a good question. I wonder the Diogene. Yeah, Ozzy Osbourne turns into Ozzy again. For those who really like Black Sabbath, you will love the reference.
I love that. I totally love that reference. Well done.
The Florida man, Sonia lady told Broward Sheriff deputies that Willie Mitchell became angry after he received the award and started harassing her, saying he had helped her numerous times and that he deserved the recognition. As the two argued about their workload, Mitchell grew angry, said, "You wouldn't like me when I'm angry." Became Lou Ferrigno, pulled a gun. She felt threatened. And he said, "I'm going to show you," he says. This is according to the arrest reports. Witness told authorities that they tried to calm him down during the argument. Anyway, went out in the parking lot and shot her car. Bang.
Wow.
Yeah. Point blank range right in the car. She wasn't in it.
You got a workload. You got to go restock the shelves with some turtle wax. I got a workload, too.
Yeah.
I'm working hard.
No, I'm in Home Goods today. Damn it.
Stocking Dr. Scholl's.
They have Dr. Scholl's there. I just saw those.
Yeah.
Part of me thought maybe I was in the market.
Actually, they've got a machine there. At least at most Walmarts, they've got a machine. I think it is a Dr. Scholl's machine that you stand on. You take your shoes off and stand on it, and don't get me started on the health ramifications of that. But you stand on this machine, and it senses the weight that you have coming from your feet on every square centimeter of your foot to figure out where you're putting the most pressure. And then it recommends insole inserts that will help alleviate that pain. And you know what? I will wholeheartedly endorse these insoles that I got that way.
Wow. So the diagnosis is a good one.
It's a good one. I can't recommend the plantar's warts that I got from stepping on that damn machine, but...
Kim ought to try this. She's got a weird, what's that thing called? Something plasia.
Not plantar fasciitis.
That's it.
Okay.
Plantar plasia. What am I doing?
Plantar fasciitis.
That's it, right there.
Yeah.
Plantar plasia is an alien planet in a movie or something.
It's an enemy in.
It's all wrong, is what it
Zelda.
Is. Zelda. Yeah, Zelda. Yeah, exactly. Man, that new Zelda's good, by the way.
Yeah, she should check that out at Walmart or talk to Corinne, because Corinne has some great shoe recommendations for plantar fasciitis.
Oh, all right. I don't want to see Corinne's feet. Moving on. Hi, Corinne. We know you're listening. HelloFresh.com is sponsoring today's show.
Great timing.
Good
Hello
timing.
Fresh.
HelloFresh. HelloFresh.com. They're great. I love them. And I've been really, really impressed when they sent me this crate full of farm fresh ingredients from the recipes we wanted. And they really didn't take, you know, they say 30 minutes. It took us less. It took us like 22 minutes or something to make this thing. And I guess they do say 30 minutes or less. So we did it in less, which is great. And it tasted like, oh, wow, did we just walk into a fancy restaurant? And did this cost me more money than it should? Nope, it didn't. It was awesome. And I want you guys to save some money. If you want to go find out if they are available in your area and save some money, use Morningstream 50 at checkout. You'll get 50% off for all first-time customers. That's 50% off. That's half, you guys. Half. Who gives half anymore? Nobody.
Nobody.
TJ Maxx, maybe on a shitty jacket or something.
Right.
That's
maybe.
It. Yeah. If you're lucky. If you went in there like 3 days after Christmas. Maybe. And maybe then not even. So 50% off first-time customers. Please go check them out. We really like those guys, and they're taking good care of everybody who has tried them so far. That's HelloFresh.com.
Chairman J. Parnell Thomas of New Jersey opens an inquiry into possible communist penetration of the Hollywood film industry.
Hey, looky here. It's Celebrity Poop, and it's brung to you by...
By Lenny again. After my Jurassic Park moment, I got on the scale. I was 5'9", 1 meter, 76 centimeters, and weighing in at over 320 pounds. That's 140 kilograms. Whoa. I changed my nutrition and went to the internet for advice. I found a guy doing Rocky-style workouts on YouTube, and I was hooked. I went to his site, rostraining.com, and ordered his book. Once I started putting the work in, I got results. I got stronger and leaner, and within 6 months, I lost 100 pounds and gained a fair amount of muscle. One more to come.
Ooh, to be continued again.
Yes, this is great. This is great for my my reel, my demo reel for Books on Tape.
Yeah. You're gonna do reading for
Harry Potter. Nervously gazed at the task ahead of him.
He I'm picked not up interested, his wand. Ron ejaculated. You remember that line that was in there?
Yes, I do.
Ron ejaculated.
Yes.
Great.
That's run all over.
Thanks, thanks, J.K. Rowling. Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
He's a hit with all the kids. You might know him.
Really?
Yeah. I think it's waning.
He's the kid with the hair and the stuff and the noise and the spray can, right?
And the douche, yeah.
And the douche. He's the kid with the douche.
He's the kid with the douche. Justin Bieber plans to retire after his new album. People wonder how serious he is.
Why wait?
He says, I'm retiring. I'm going to take some time. I think I'm probably going to quit music, Justin told host of Big Boy's Neighborhood.
He's going to quit music?
Quit music. That's so weird.
Yeah.
He told this show Big Boy's...
It's like me saying, I'm going to quit working at Walmart.
Yeah. After I shoot your window.
Right.
The Biebs delivered the announcement with a straight face and hid his poker face under a dark pair of sunglasses. Not all are convinced. Of course it's not true, a source told E! News. That hasn't stopped all his believers on Twitter from going into full freakout mode, though.
Of course.
One of them, Kieran Stewart, tweeted, No, Justin Bieber retiring? ! Please say no, she said. So she did a little Sheila Boof at the beginning there.
Yes. No.
No, sorry, I cannot do homework. Justin Bieber may be retiring, and my life is about to end, says Thayla S.
Jeez Louise.
Holy shite! There are people doing this and saying this.
I can't do homework. I'm just going to curl up in a fetal position and rock back and forth and listen to Baby, Baby.
Oh, this is... Oh! I said oh at the end. Did you hear that?
Yes, you did.
I didn't mean to, but I did. It's the one song that that Reliant K does on one of their cover albums that I don't listen to.
Oh, really?
I don't like it. Yeah.
Their cover is all right.
No, the cover is a good cover of a song I hate. Yeah. So good cover of a song I hate means I hate the cover, even though it's a well-done cover. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wish it was... I don't know how to explain it. I just hate that song so much. I can't do it.
But I think... Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. I know what you're saying. I just think, you know... Well, if you don't like a song, you don't like a song. So...
Yeah. Nothing can be done for me.
But sometimes, and this may not be a case, but sometimes a cover may make you appreciate a song that you didn't care for before.
Well, here you go. Here's.
And I'll be there. My first love broke my heart. Always be mine.
Oh, no. Where's the baby part? Screw it.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah, okay. I kind of see what
you see what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying.
I like Reliant K. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I think Africa is the best cover ever. I love that thing.
Oh, it's such a great song.
Josh Gad is going to write and star in Gilligan's Island, a movie. Wow, finally. And I don't know who Josh Gad is. It just doesn't ring a bell.
He's the kid from Hot Tub Time Machine, I think.
Oh, it's that kid?
I want to say that
he's on The Office for the last season or two.
Yes. Okay. Oh, you know what? You know, I take that back. No, he's not. He's not that guy.
Okay, not that guy.
He was in Jobs the movie. He's in Frozen. He was in The Internship.
Oh, he's the he was Wozniak in the Jobs movie, right?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Oh, okay. Right. I know who that is now. Okay. Yeah. No, he's all right. Actually, yeah. He was the. Let me say this without offending anyone. He was the only good thing in that movie.
Oh, okay.
His portrayal of Woz was awesome. I think the rest of it kind of stunk, but whatever.
Right.
A movie based on classic CBS sitcom Gilligan's Island, which I loved as a kid. Oh, my gosh, I loved it.
Oh, yeah, Book of Mormon. He's going to be in the Book of Mormon, too.
Oh, he is? He's not already in it?
No, I think it's a movie adaptation.
Oh, they're doing that? I didn't know that.
I think so. Judging this says 2014, the Book of Mormon, so.
Oh, Matt Stone and Trey Parker, is there any money you can't make?
That's interesting.
Do you remember the episode I was talking to Daryl? Was I talking to Daryl about this? Who was I talking to about this? Well, anyway, the one where the giant vegetables showed up. Oh, I was talking to Daryl as well. You were getting the name of the Australian food donator.
Mm-hmm.
And they had big crates with like giant carrots and huge beets and things and the
oh yeah right
everybody on the island ate them.
Irradiated. Yes.
Yeah. And so like Gilligan got supervision and because he ate the carrots and they did all these stereotyped like vegetable things. That was fantastic.
That's right. Somebody was faster. Like it was a fast runner or
something like that. Yeah. The professor was like, I can't remember what happened to him.
Yeah.
He always weirded me out. That was
the goofiest episode.
Kenneth Johnson was his name. Anyway, it's in development, according to Deadline. Deadline! 1600 Pen star Josh Gad. I guess that's another thing he did.
Yeah, it was the TV show about the first family, and he was the dopey first son.
Oh, that's right. Okay. He has been tapped to write the big screen adaptation, along with Benji Samet and Dan Hernandez from Warner Brothers. He's also attached to play one of the roles. Lloyd and Ross Schwartz, children of Sherwood Schwartz and producer of the original TV series, and died in 2011. Well, executive... What? If he's dead, how can he... Oh, Sherwood Schwartz died. He's the guy that... He was the original producer of the original show.
Lloyd and Russ Schwartz will executive produce the movie. They're the children of Sherwood Schwartz.
Got it. Okay. They'll do the movie with Tracy and Kathy Silvers, the daughters of late actor-producer Phil Silvers, who once guest starred at least one memorable episode of the series. Mm. So a lot of connectivity to the old show, which I think is probably... Good.
It helps.
Know. Probably
it
helps. I think it helps in a PR
Gad
way.
Who's Josh Gad gonna play? Like, he's got to be Skipper then, right?
Probably Gilligan. I don't know. Yeah. What do you think? Who would he be? Skipper? Dope, little buddy. Boop.
I don't know. I mean, looking at the picture of him, he's a rounder gentleman.
Mm.
I think I might lean towards, but he's also younger than I would picture Skipper being. So
coconut to the gut. Dope.
Dope.
He's the original homer. He's the first homer ever made.
Really was.
TV show aired 3 seasons from 64 to 67 and followed 7 survivors on a shipwreckage. Didn't they have a crossover with like Fantasy Island or something? Oh, the Harlem Globetrotters. Yeah. That was it.
Yeah, there was no Fantasy Island.
They made a court. They made a basketball court on the beach.
Yes.
I want to see that now.
I'm sure it's on... It's got to be on Hulu.
Someone has it,
Hulu's
right?
Hulu's got those old TV shows.
I would love to watch that. All right.
Okay, so let's see your casting.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's 9 o'clock. Maybe we should get to the song.
That's okay. What do you got?
Who would you cast for? All right, let's start with Gilligan. Who would you cast these days?
Justin Long.
Yeah. See, that seemed like the obvious choice, didn't it? Yeah. I was thinking that too.
Justin
right.
Long seems obvious to me.
The professor.
Phil Hartman died, right? So can't do him. A young Phil Hartman, though, would have been dead on for that. Probably. Wow.
How about Justin Timberlake as the professor?
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's a. Yes. Okay. I'll go with that one. That's an interesting choice.
All right.
It may not be 100% perfect by the way you want to match it, but it might be an interesting take.
Oh, Poison Elf suggests Michael Cera for Gilligan. That's not bad either.
Oh, that's not bad. Actually, that's pretty good.
Ellen, Cheesy G suggests Ellen DeGeneres, and I'm guessing that's his Gilligan as well. All right, let's go with Skipper.
All right, the Skipper. Boop. I'm going to give that to... Zach Galifianakis.
I think that's a great choice. Yeah, either Zach or Seth Rogen.
Rogen would be okay, yeah. Although he'd have to laugh, and I hate that laugh so much.
Right.
I can't think of anyone else.
Let's go with Marianne.
Marianne, played by the lovely and talented... Who's the girl in season 3 of Breaking Bad and then went on to do that
Kristen Ritter.
That lady.
Not bad. Not a bad
choice.
She's
a good Marianne.
Wow, you put her in Pigtails and...
Ginger to be played by Mad Men star, what's her name? Voluptuous.
Oh, really? Christina Hendricks?
We'll think about a redhead, all curvy.
Yeah.
Looks like a movie star. She'd be
okay.
Great.
Okay, all right. Great.
I can't think of anyone else that I can think of that's redheaded off the top of my head.
It wouldn't have to be redheaded. I mean, you know, it could be blonde with a wig. You could do Amy Adams.
That's true.
You could do,
that's true.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking Zooey Deschanel for Marianne as well, but I love some of these. Alison Brie would make a fantastic Marianne.
She'd be great, yep.
Yeah.
You need that kind of innocent yet kind of hot farm mm-hmm. girl thing going on.
Right.
Ginger, it just has to be a ginger.
What about, let's go with the Howls.
The Howls, okay. Here's the fun bit.
Yes.
The Howls.
Because you could go old on this one.
I know what I want, but there's no way it'll happen. I want a reuniting of George's parents. I want those guys. Actually, the mom.
Estelle,
what's her name? She'd be
right.
She'd be great. Is it Estelle Costanza was a character name, I think.
Oh, was it? Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I can't
she'd
remember.
Be great as Mrs. Howell. For Mr. Howell, you need somebody a little more
Jerry Stiller.
Pompousy. Yeah. Who would be a good pompous older dude? Oh gosh. We've about got the cast, folks. We just gotta hammer out this last
somehow
guy.
You gotta fit Patrick Warburton into this. Maybe he's Howell.
Oh, that would be okay. That would probably be okay. You'd have to go with a younger wife, but
you'd have to go with a younger wife, yeah.
Oh, I love that idea. Hey Peter. Hey Peter.
That's dead on, man. Well done.
That's the best I can do. Ask me to say anything else.
Denver.
I can't do it. I can only say that.
Wow.
Hey Peter. All right. I guess all I got.
This. I love this idea. All right.
All right. I think we got our show. That's our show.
I think so.
Justin Long is my pick, I think. He's the best for
Gilligan. I think that's a good choice.
He looks like him is the thing.
Yeah.
And that's his whole shtick and everything he's in.
Yes.
There you go, folks. That's your Celebrity Poop, and we're going to take a break. Before we do, tweakedaudio.com, sponsoring the program, please go there. Save some money, 33% off at tweakedaudio.com. Get a lifetime warranty, fantastic earbuds, all engineered for durability, and you're going to have the noise reduction you need because you don't want to hear the outside world when you got your earbuds on. You want to listen to your audiobook, your podcast, or your music without interruption. That's tweakedaudio.com. The code is STREAM at checkout. That's 33% off. Do it today. Brian, let's do a song. What do you got?
Okay. All right. Well, this one was not requested. I'm pulling it in here because it's so damn awesome. This is a group called Mojo Chronic, and it came from a 2007 collection called Santastic 3 in 3D. I've played a lot of stuff by The Buddies before, which is a Beatles cover band that does Christmas carols in the style of Beatles songs. Yeah. This goes the other direction, and it's Led Zeppelin songs turned into holiday classics. So let's get right to it. It's long, but it's great. Yuletide Zeppelin right here by Mojo Chronic.
We'll be back in about 5 minutes, and we'll talk to Nicole. We'll talk to Tom, and we'll do more than that. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
And now, a magnifico recipe from Pillsbury, the idea flour. Crazy crust pizza.
Imagine pizza crust you pour. No rolling or kneading. Crazy. Sprinkle meat and mushrooms on top. And bake. Spread on pizza topping. And finish baking. Mmm. Crazy crust pizza.
The recipes in sacks of Pillsbury. Whoops. The idea flour.
Now you can do it.
Now, with 20% more ciliate hydroxide and erotic acid, this is The Morning Stream.
And we're back, everybody. We're
pizza
back.
Pizza crust you pour? That sounds horrible.
Well, the idea flour, Brian. The idea flour. I have memories of that stuff.
Oh, man.
More commercials from Christmas coming tomorrow and next week, so
yay.
Enjoy those.
Hey, what'd you think of that song?
I loved it. The whole album like that?
No, it's that's just one of the tracks, but it's a free download if you go to... Darn, I just put the link in the tadpole. Let me put it again. Or not. Right. Let me tell it online here.
Right.
DJBC.net/Santastic3, the number 3. So okay. Just do a search for Santastic 3 and you'll find it.
That's awesome. It's really well done.
It is really good. It's a whole, yeah, the whole album is really good, but that's easily a standout track.
Nice. So here's my favorite Christmas song. You ready?
Yeah.
Here you go.
Oh, holy night. Stars are brightly shining.
You've gotta get to the
this one. That's great.
Oh my god, I love that.
He's great.
Alright. Why are the dogs in my neighborhood starting to
howl? Yeah, what's going on? Weird. People in Nevada are noticing seismic activity. What's going on?
That's right.
We played that on the show a long time ago, but man, I feel like it ought to be a tradition to bring that up every damn year.
Yes.
All right. It is time, ladies and gentlemen, to join us or have us join or bring on to the show is what I'm really trying to say. Nicole Spagnolo.
Yay!
Who will be here to recommend things for us. Because that's how she do. And I got her song here and everything. Ladies and gentlemen, join us now in welcoming Nicole to the program. Hi, Nicole.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm all right.
Yeah?
I'm starting to feel better, but I don't take that as a sign of me getting better because I've had many times of up and down, up and down.
Oh, what's the deal, man?
I don't know. I think I have to go to the doctor. I don't know what's going on.
I hope it's nothing like, I mean, well, is it just the virus? Did everybody kind of have the same up and down?
Mark's kind of, he's not as bad as me, but yeah.
He's just a little off.
Then I'll get sick and I'll be in the, yeah. We even went to the movies, but then as soon as we got home, I was in bed for the entire next day.
Oh, that sucks.
It suck.
Did you see the desolation of Smaug? Is that what you guys went to see?
I did.
Yeah? What'd you think?
Have either of you
not yet.
Gone
to
see it?
Not yet. Brian's going this weekend, right, Brian?
Okay.
I'm going Saturday morning.
Yeah,
yes.
I'm going Christmas Day, so I'm holding off. But just generally, what'd you think?
It's a woot for me. Mm. It's a Hobbit movie. Why wouldn't I want more Middle Earth?
Sure. How'd you like, do you think Cumbersnatch did pretty good as the Dragon Man?
Oh, is that who?
Yeah.
Cumber, whatever.
Yeah, Cumberbatch.
Cumbersnatch as the Dragon Man.
I don't get all the hubbub about this guy. Like, I don't think he's that attractive.
I think he's got a cool voice and a menacing look, and he's a good actor. Yeah. Right, but I don't get the whole sexy business about him either.
No.
Yeah, a lot of women are really into him, though.
Not me.
Yeah.
I'm like, what?
But
maybe I need to watch Sherlock or something.
Sherlock, yeah. If you've not seen Sherlock, that I think that's what puts people on the pro train with him. Because he's really, really, really good on there. And so is The Hobbit himself on there. They're both good on there. That's why this is so significant, because those two back together in between Sherlock seasons doing a Hobbit movie together is fantastic.
Yes.
All right.
Well, it's interesting to me how some people are upset that there are three Hobbit movies. Mm. Like, there was, I don't know, it's a short book, but they're stretching it. So, like, for instance...
I'm fine with that. Why do we want less?
As long as the story that they add to it is decent. You know, I mean, yeah. I don't mind them extending it into three books, that's, or three movies. That's fine, as long as there's good filler as opposed to, well, let's sit around here and discuss our feelings about
bread
wrapped in leaves.
Yeah, the
for
white,
instance, yes. there is no love story in the Hobbit book.
Yeah.
But there is a love story, a sort of love story, that is in the movie.
Yeah, with the Kate from Lost. But here's the
thing.
And I'm enjoying it. I really enjoy it. What'd you say, Brian?
The love story between Frodo and Samwise.
Yeah, right. I was gonna make the actual comment that in the Lord of the Rings films, there was no love story between Aragorn and what's her name. That was all in the Silmarillion, or the hell they say that other book. So that was all in there. Her standing there with a sword going, if you want him, come and claim him, is all not in the book. Right. So if people are complaining about that, then they should have complained then. And yes,
I think
it was.
They did.
It was good. Did they?
People are, yeah, I think so.
Purists, whatever, man.
Yeah, whatever.
I want to go to the movies to be entertained. That white orc thing, which I know is not in this and is in some other secondary books. I think he's badass and cool. There's nothing wrong with that guy. He's played by the Deadpool guy on Arrow. If you saw his face, you'd recognize him. But that guy's awesome. The white orc, man. He's cool. Or the white.
I really enjoyed it. You're going to have a great time.
All right. I'm excited.
Just don't get caught up in like comparing the two. It's a great story. You know, Peter Jackson embellishes and he takes source from the other books, like you were saying.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know. I'm guessing the whole little love story is an embellishment. I'm fine with it. I enjoyed it.
How is Kate as a...
Look, guys, most of your girlfriends are probably not going to want to go see this movie. I'm generalizing. So, but
yes, there are plenty of women who are like you. Like, my wife can't wait, and there are people who love it. Yeah. But yes, you're probably right. They're less interested in this than they are 50 First Dates or some other BS like that.
There's a little love story in it, honey. Come on, let's go. It's not going to be that bad.
And there's a white orc.
You'll enjoy it.
Yeah, white orcs for everyone. Great.
It's well, it's a rom-com.
Yeah. Very nicely said. So, forget about Orlando Bloom for a minute. Let's talk about you and your recommendals for the week.
Well, I wanted to start it off with The Hobbit and discussing The Hobbit.
Oh, good.
Because it is a trilogy, just like The Lord of the Rings was a trilogy. We now have a trilogy with The Hobbit. So I thought, why don't we just go with that theme and talk about some of the movies that are trilogies that are streaming.
Great. All three, like all three are streaming, or do they just do two?
That's impossible.
All right.
So my rule was at least two of the three had to be streaming.
Okay. Oh, nice. Okay. Fair That's enough. A great
I like your rule. That's not bad. Yeah.
It was very challenging to find a set of movies that were streaming.
Yeah.
But I did. I was able to, and they're decent movies.
Okay.
So the first trilogy I have for you that two of the three are streaming is their Mariachi trilogy with the sexy Antonio Banderas.
Yeah, well, only in two of them though, right? Because the first one was a different dude.
No, he's in all three.
El Mariachi, yeah.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
El Mariachi.
Incorrect, ladies and gentlemen.
Are you sure?
Stand by my statement. The first film, which was an independent
Desperado was the first one, right?
No, no, no.
Desperado was two.
First one was El Mariachi. Yes. And it
this
featured
is Robert Rodriguez. He did all three.
Yeah, Rodriguez directed all three.
Yeah,
but Antonio Banderas is only in the final two. The character he played is played by Carlos Gallardo. In the first film.
I thought it was Banderas as well.
Go ahead and check it because I know this. I was so into that series that you couldn't have stopped me, and I was so into it that I knew every damn thing about it. And he had no budget then. This was like some
interesting,
movie, and it wasn't until later he got to hire like real actors.
There's a double feature of Desperado and El Mariachi that you can get from Netflix. They'll send you. It's the DVDs, and on the cover is just a guy in a black suit with his hair covering his face, so you wouldn't realize it's not Antonio Banderas.
Yeah,
that's funny.
It still worked. It wasn't a problem, and I loved Desperado. To the point of, I just about worship that movie. And anytime I see Danny Trejo, I want him to open his coat and show me all the knives in his vest. Like, right. I just love everybody in it. That's all good. There's nothing wrong with that movie. That third movie, though, big turd.
I haven't seen it yet. And it's streaming. So both Desperado and Once Upon a Time in Mexico are both streaming on Netflix. El Mariachi is not. I couldn't find it anywhere.
Hayek's only in the second and third one as well, right? She's not in the first one?
No. Yeah, she's not in the first one.
No, there's all people you don't know. Okay. You've never heard of any of these people. In fact, the only photo for anyone in the cast is the main guy, and even he's not really doing all that much.
Are you a Mexican?
Yeah.
Or a Mexican?
He's been in other stuff, including Desperado. He played another character, like a side thug guy. He was in Planet Terror. He's in the Grindhouse thing. So he works with Rodriguez. He keeps going. They're old buddies. He's just not... You know, he's in something called Star Watch and Agent 88 and The Price. You ever heard of these? Nope.
Nope.
Dead Hooker in the Trunk, where he plays God.
Oh, ooh. God, I forgot that Depp was in the third one. He's the bad guy.
That was, that's part of your problem. Right? It's part of your problem, yeah. It, kind of, it really is, and I like Johnny Depp. I just feel like that was a weird thing. It didn't fit right. Nobody, I don't know how Trejo came back, even though I love that dude. All those things are weird. That movie's weird. I didn't love that movie.
I still want to watch it. Yeah. So,
have you not seen it yet? You'll have to.
My queue.
You'll have to tell me what you think, because if you really like Desperado like I did,
I did.
I have a feeling you'll be like, "What happened here? What went wrong here?" So we'll see. We'll find out. Good stuff. All right, there's your first trilogy. What's next?
Well, that's the second one.
Oh, sorry.
The Hobbit was supposed to be my first.
Oh, okay.
we had prematurely ejected that one. I'll say ejected.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then. Finally, seriously, there are a lot of trilogies. You would think, you know, some of the most iconic ones, of course, Back to the Future. I mean, none of these are streaming. Mm. Even the Star Wars trilogies, none of these are streaming. Mm. But there is a set of films. I have fond memories of watching these films with my dad. Silly, ridiculous, the Naked Gun trilogy.
Yeah.
Both the Naked Gun 2.5 and Naked Gun 33⅓.
They're great movies. Streaming. There's nothing wrong with those movies.
They're so ridiculous. And if you're looking for just ridiculous, silly laugh, these films. And the first one, unfortunately, isn't streaming, but honestly, I think it's the best one.
Is what's his name in all three of those?
Leslie Nielsen.
No, not him.
O.J. Simpson.
O.J. Simpson. Is he in all three?
I think so.
I think he is too.
He
gets a crap beat out of him.
Norberg.
I'm looking at his IMDb
Anna
photo.
Anna Nicole Smith was in 33⅓. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 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 She's in that.
I want to say that it's the Crying Game joke is that you see her in silhouette, and she unzips her pants, and in silhouette you see that it's the kind of the Crying Game situation going on down there.
Yeah.
Anna Nicole.
Yeah.
I think so. I think that was, they were making fun of the Crying Game, I think.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, where dude had a wiener.
Unless I'm thinking of a different movie, but yeah.
Leslie Nielsen.
Although I saw that movie, the wiener exposure movie. What did you just call it? What's it called?
The Crying Game?
The Crying Game. I saw Crying Game after I saw the Stargate movie where he played Ra. What's his name? Davidson, whatever it is. He played Ra. Like the god Ra.
Oh, right. Yes, I know who you're talking
about.
So
that was a weird way to watch that, to go from Egyptian god Ra to then dude with taped up wiener. That was a weird juxtaposition, I thought. By the way, I'm looking at O.J. Simpson's IMDb profile, and here are his movies. And see if you see a break here at all. Very, very busy man from his first film in 1968. Or his first role on TV. And then he keeps doing movies, tons of really popular stuff, big money-making stuff, lots of disaster movies and stuff. The Naked Gun, 1994, does a movie called Frogmen, and then nothing. Disappears in 94.
94.
Yeah, I don't know. Something's ringing a bell. There may have been something that happened there. I don't know. But then in 2004, he was in something called The Lemon Twist as the jealous boyfriend. Oh, man.
Mm.
That's real bad right there. Mm-hmm. The jealous boyfriend? Are you freaking kidding me? And then later in 2008, a courtroom parody, ADHD TV with Lou Mencken. He played... It doesn't say what he played. He played a courtroom parody, it says.
Hmm.
So anyway... There's the career, the life and career of O.J. Simpson.
Thorin pasted a link to the Anna Nicole Smith scene in the Naked Gun, the third one.
Oh, is it on the YouTube?
It's on YouTube, yeah.
And this, oh gosh, I do remember this now. And it turns out she's a dude or something, right?
Right.
And her legs go forever. And,
right.
Yeah, that's great. Those are funny movies. I'm glad you picked those because there's nothing wrong with having some big, stupid fun.
I haven't seen those in forever,
too.
I think I need to see them again.
You know what trilogy I really hope At World's End comes out on streaming because the
Cornetto trilogy.
Cornetto, is that how you say it?
Yeah.
So yeah, Hot Fuzz and Shaun of the Dead. All those. That's one of my favorite trilogies.
Yeah, I actually put the box set. Tina's mom was asking something that I'd want for Christmas, and there's the box set, the Blu-ray box set that's got all three of them.
Oh, I need to add that to my list.
And I'm hoping that she, you know, she doesn't get confused. Cornetto trilogy. What? Shaun of the What the
Do you use Amazon wishlist?
I do, and it's actually on there, but I don't know. I sent her a link, and I'm hoping that, she can figure that all out.
Because you can add stuff outside of Amazon to that wish list. It's awesome.
Oh, I didn't know that, really?
Oh, yeah. There's a little plugin. You can put it on your browser with a little A, and just connect it, and it's great.
Nicole is so all up into these things.
Can you go to, like, the Wood Whisperer and put the Art's new book on there?
Yes.
What?
Yeah, yeah.
I love that you, Nicole knows this. She's so weird about these things. If I need to know anything about any kind of connected, freaking socially hoo-ha, Amazon, whatever, guaranteed Nicole knows what it is every time.
Can one of you do some tech support with Tina's parents? Because that's actually what I always end up doing. Is. Yeah.
I've done tech support with some of our fans on the Wood Whisperer, too.
You have, yeah.
By the way, we cut the cord.
Oh, my gosh, when did this happen?
This happened just last week.
Oh, my
just
gosh. Welcome to my world. Wow.
Now Mateo can go anywhere.
Yeah. Anywhere he wants. Anywhere he wants now that his cord's been cut. Downtown Phoenix. There's a boy here. Anyone know who his parents are?
No, Phoenix has good over-the-air channels. So we just went and picked up, I think, maybe a $70 antenna.
Nice.
And replaced the DirecTV.
I've never regretted it. I've saved a bunch of money.
I don't
too.
Even notice it. We just hooked up our old TiVo and records everything.
That's great.
It's like I didn't even skip a beat.
No,
it's
that's
so
awesome.
Great.
That's totally cool. You guys, you guys deserve a break today. What am I trying to say? It's a McDonald's.
I don't know.
All right. So wait, what was our third group?
That was it.
Oh, that was it. That was our third one. Duh.
That was all.
Yeah. I keep forgetting the Hobbit was the main one. Yeah. Well, there you go. Always fun. Always good. Nicole Spag, what else is happening in your life do you want to point people to that we should do before you go?
Well, since Brian brought up the Wood Whisperer, I'll say if you are looking for a gift for a friend or relative and they're into sort of DIY and woodworking, we sell gift certificates to our guild. So if you go over twwstore.com, you can pick up a gift certificate, and great for those last minute gifts. You don't have to be like Scott and be in Target on Christmas Eve, and it's electronic, so I'll pimp that.
That's nice. Good. Yeah. Well, support that.
A year of awesome. It's better than Jelly and Month Club.
Damn straight. It's better than the Columbia House record.
That keeps on giving, Clark.
Yeah. Exactly. Found a box of tapes, by the way, that I got from Columbia when I was a kid, and they're all in a box still.
Columbia House?
Well, yeah.
Did you pay a penny?
Yeah, I paid a penny for those, and then paid for the rest of my life for everything else. It was great.
I love that club.
They fooled me entirely the entire time.
MBMG.
Those were the days. Don't forget. Never forget. Nicole, it's always good to hang out. Nicole Spag on Twitter, everybody. Follow her, and we'll see you next time.
Bye, guys.
Bye now.
See ya.
Well, we should have said Merry Christmas, because we're not going to have her on next week.
Oh, right. Because it'll be Christmas.
Too late. All right. We're now going to take some time with our good pal, Tom Merritt, where if I could find this freaking thing.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
That man is none other than Tom Merritt, everybody.
And Skype takes a dive in three, two, one.
No!
What?
It didn't happen. Are you there? Oh, it didn't. It did it.
It was perfect.
It was well done.
It did it right on time. Wow.
That's crazy, dude.
Do I know Skype? Or do I know Skype?
Nothing better than a bug you can predict.
Yeah. Don't you like that?
It's replicable. Fix it.
That's fantastic.
Planned failure.
So we have Tom on Wednesdays, which this week will be the last Wednesday we have him for a bit because Christmas is next Wednesday and we're not doing a show that day.
What?
So,
New Year's is the Wednesday after that.
Oh. Right. And then
the
Friday after that, though, we launch Current Geek again. So there's a lot going on that should be get people excited. We'll make up for it. We promise. But Tom comes on here Wednesdays, talks about a little tech, what's going on in the news, In the technology world.
Yeah, and are we going to start calling this Current Geek, or are we just going to leave it?
I don't know. I like Tom's Tech Time in some ways, and then other ways I like the other name. But the reason I think because here's the deal. What we know about Tom is this. We know that Current Geek's happening. That's the thing. That's definitely happening. But we also know he's got other projects in the mix. He's got some fingers in the fire. Wait, irons in the fire, hands in the cookie jar. I know. I got it all backwards.
Go to dailytechnewsshow.com. There's not much there. It's a very basic site, and you'll get the joke when you get there. Right. But that is where the future home of whatever I do daily will end up being.
Yeah.
So you can subscribe to a feed there, and that feed will direct to whatever I end up doing.
Yeah, and so this, I feel like this is still a great incarnation of that.
Sure.
But we'll play it by ear. We'll see. I don't know. Because we're going to do a lot of tech talk on Current Geek as well as other things. Brian Dibbitt here will be our second week guest, which is super
nice.
Cool.
Can't wait for that.
So yeah, all is well in the world of Tom Merritt and the world of technology. Or is it? Because today...
No, it's not, because I haven't gotten to the tadpole. Okay, there we go.
Oh, there they are. Now all is well for Tom. What's burning a hole in the technology hearts of men and women across these United States today?
I see in you the same fear that would take the heart of me. But Bitcoin, well, I don't know why Aragorn became Kennedy.
I don't know either.
Chowda, chowda.
He chose to go to Middle Earth. Yes.
Just made Bitcoin a better movie, by the way.
But, plummeting.
Yeah.
Tech executives rake Obama over the coals. And we are going to get a universal laptop charger standard. Whoa. Which would you like to hear about?
Oh, my gosh. Actually, Bitcoin, because that's supposed to save us all from the woes of internet commerce, and yet it doesn't seem to be doing that at all. So where have they gone wrong, and what's wrong with them now? Why are they taking a dive today?
Yeah, it's China. Mm. You know, like most things in the U.S., we always want to blame the China. But this time it's actually probably China's fault. The price of Bitcoin plummeted following announcement from China's largest Bitcoin exchange that would no longer accept new local currency deposits.
Ooh.
In other words, you can't take your Chinese money and put it in there and buy Bitcoins with it. And of course, Bitcoin's selling like hotcakes in China, even though China says, look, banks, you really shouldn't be engaging in Bitcoin. People can buy and sell it. That's fine. But the recent exchange from BTC China has sent it plummeting 50%. In fact, let's look at Mt. Gox right now and see if it's affected that exchange. Mt. Gox is kind of the index exchange that everybody looks at.
It's also an awesome name.
Down, average price right now, $568.
Oh, and gosh.
Remember, it was up above $1,000 for a while there.
That seems crazy, but isn't it always kind of had a... Correct me if I'm wrong, I have not followed the Bitcoin thing to any kind of regularity, but it seems like it's always been shrouded in a little bit of shadiness. Am I wrong in that impression?
Yeah, yes. The way you phrased that, I wouldn't agree with, but I know what you mean, which is there's a lot of shadiness going on around Bitcoin, for sure. There are people who use Bitcoin to do shady things, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I always think it's you know, you can stab somebody with a screwdriver, too. It's the tool doesn't make the crime. And I think Bitcoin is a very interesting currency. The other thing, besides the shadiness of it, is the instability of it. This is a very, very young currency, remember. Even though it's been around for 5 years at this point, it's only been widely used, and it's not even really widely used, but it's only been kind of in the public consciousness for a couple of years. And only this year did it really start to take off. I remember when I got my first Bitcoins, you know, they were worth like a dollar or two, maybe, you know, and now being worth $1,000, that's crazy. So we haven't seen the Bitcoin market stabilize yet. Mm-hmm. So this kind of fluctuation shouldn't surprise anybody. And nobody who is like, I just want a stable investment like bonds and diversify my assets. Nobody like that should be buying Bitcoins as an investment.
No, until things flesh out some. It does feel like this weird necessary step toward a future where everything is probably going to have values placed on it based on sort of digital currencies and ownerships and shareholding and things that, you know, are going to kind of transform more than they already have in the future. And it feels like Bitcoin's a cobblestone on that path to me. So it's going to be weird for a while, don't you think? Like,
yeah, I mean,
weird.
it's experimental. And Thorin in the chat room says it's not going to stabilize. And Thorin may be absolutely right. We don't know what's going to happen. Nobody's done this before. A totally digital but cryptocurrency so that it's not easily replicable. There's a limited number of them. In fact, Charles Stross, the author, the sci-fi author, wrote a bit of a criticism of why he doesn't like Bitcoin for many, many reasons. And one of the reasons is that he thinks it's deflationary because it does have a limited number. You know, with other currencies, you can adapt to the market. You can add currency to the system. You can pull it out. With Bitcoin, you can't.
Yeah.
Once they finish mining, which won't happen for a few more years, but once they finish mining the Bitcoins, that system stops. And then the Bitcoins that exist are the Bitcoins that exist.
Yeah. And this is impossible to explain to anyone over 50, I swear. I swear it's hard to explain to me. Like I'll read a little bit about Bitcoin here and there and kind of what it is, what its origins are, how it works. It's pretty weird. There's a lot of virtualness happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's gold. That's right. How I explain it to people over 50. Cause like, remember the gold standard?
Yeah.
Well, maybe you're not quite that old over 50, but, but you remember your dad telling you about the gold standard, maybe.
Sure.
And it's the same thing. What people don't get, I think is, but where is it? And it's almost the same problem with describing the web. I remember trying to describe the World Wide Web to a coworker of mine at Half Price Books in Austin. Mm-hmm. And she's like, well, where is it? I'm like, well, it's out on
it's
the internet.
Everywhere.
She's like, but it's software that you install. I'm like, well, the browser's the software.
Yeah.
She's like, so you have to install all these sites. I'm like, no, you know, it's just, if you don't use it, you don't quite understand how it can be as simple as the person is explaining it. And Bitcoin is the same way. I mean, I can explain it very easily. It's not replicable. It's easy to transact, and it's easy to do without tracing. And people say, yeah, but how? And it's like, well, now we have to get into cryptography and peer-to-peer, you know, to explain the underlying part of it. So you either take it on faith or you just don't believe it.
It's like going back to 1948 and explaining to somebody the difference between 4G and LTE.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it seems sensible to us, but...
Huh?
Yeah, it's baby steps for us because we've gotten there over time. They have no point of reference, so I get that.
There's a base understanding that needs to take place before he can go with the advanced stuff.
Yeah,
right.
And I'm all for new everything. Like I'm all for big experiments and not holding back. And if Bitcoin is a thing that lasts forever, great. But if it's a thing that crumbles and goes away, well, it was an experiment along the way to something else. Just like MySpace was an experience along the way to Facebook, which is probably an experience on the way to something else. Like it's all those kinds of stepping stones, I think, are really crucial for a society to grow and live. Boy, look at me. Am I standing on a hill? Like, what am I doing here? I'm going to back down now and not be so philosophical. Wow. So people can find more about
when you're up on your soapbox.
Do you like that? Well, good, because they'll like Current Geek. We're going to do a lot of that, I think. I think that'll be a thing. I think I'll end up taking an issue and then feeling strongly about it and then saying something about it. And then
I'm going to push you up on that.
Will you? Okay. Will you hold my butt while I'm up there so I don't fall back?
That's me. That's what you got me around for.
Tom, the butt holder. Yep.
Hey.
Excellent. Anything else going on in your world that we should find folks know about? We got Current Geek. We got lots of stuff. What else is going on?
Not much news for me, Scott. Just same old these days. We have our tech history ebook singles out there. If you haven't picked one up, go check it out. Of course, currentgeek.com to subscribe to the Once and Future Current Geek, as well as the Current Geek packs in the store if you want to support the show.
Awesome.
We just interviewed on Sword and Laser Sam Sykes, author of the Aeon's Gate series.
I've heard good things about that series.
Yeah, go check that out, swordandlaser.com. It was a really fun interview. He's a Southerner, I think, and so he talks a little slow, and so it's deceptive because you think, oh, okay, this is a really serious, you know, and then he'll just crack some dry joke that just has you on the floor, his way of phrasing it. He's
I love that.
Really, really good guy.
I love that kind of stuff. That's great. Swordandlaser.com. With the lovely and talented Veronica Belmonte, I think is how you pronounce it.
Mm-hmm. Oui.
Yep.
She says this.
The key? Robot arms.
Robot arms. she'll be our first, or one of the first two guests on Current Geek. We'll have her and Mark the Terpster Turpin on Current Geek, which is fantastic. Very excited about that launch show. Excited to have Brian on after that. Many, many other great Frog Pants and friends from all over the damn internet. Tom Merritt, it's always yes.
Brian, what? I'm sorry. Before I go, I apologize, Scott. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No,
but
you're fine. You're good.
Brian Brushwood and I are working on a project. I don't know. We might be able to tell you something about it today. Just keep your eyes on the Twitters.
Does it rhyme might, with Came Jates?
It might be an apple butter farm. Might not. I don't know. Okay. But just you'll just have to see.
Okay. Rhyme wow. Freights. Like that?
Don't know what you mean.
Oh, okay.
What the heck are you talking about?
Yeah, what is this gibberish I'm spewing? All right. Well, Tom Merritt, it's Ace Detect on Twitter, everybody. Follow him there. He's got lots of fun things to say.
Adieu.
Merry Christmas, by the way.
Hey, Merry Christmas to both you guys.
Yeah, have a fantastic
everyone
Wednesday.
Everyone in the tadpole.
Oh,
yeah. Everyone.
Yay. He's our Timmy. No, Tiny Tim, right? Tiny Tim.
Yes.
I thought he was the tiptoe through the tulips.
That's also Tiny Tim. Oh. Totally two different Tiny Tims.
Okay. He did not need more soup and didn't have a gammy leg, right?
That's right. He was ukulele playing guy that married Miss Vicky on The Tonight Show and died just a few years ago. But a brilliant, brilliant music expert. I mean, this guy knew everything about music. He wasn't super musically well-loved, yeah. But yeah.
But you can't deny there was something going on there.
There was.
Like I watched Man on the Moon finally, the Jim Carrey thing.
Yeah. You've never seen it?
I've never seen it.
Oh, wow.
And no reason, just never mm-hmm. got around to it. Yeah. It's streaming, so I thought, you know what, I'm going to watch this. And I worked out to it a couple of days in a row, and mm-hmm. it was great. What a cool yeah. movie that is.
It's a good tribute to Andy Kaufman and one of the better things that Courtney Love has ever done.
By far, yeah. She was also good in that.
Larry Flint?
Yeah.
Yeah.
People versus Larry Flint.
Larry Flint, yeah.
Also a really good movie. Yeah, so there you have it. I was going to say one more thing about that, and I forgot what it was. Something about that movie that struck me. Oh, I know what it was. I know Jim Carrey was nominated. He lived in that character. Like,
yeah, he did.
Blown my mind. My yeah. gosh. Even absolutely. Just his normal voice. Like,
right.
You are totally Andy Kaufman.
No. He was really, really good as Andy Kaufman.
And my wife had a revelation. We're watching the end of it. She goes, that song. I go, the R.E.M. song? She goes, that's about Andy Kaufman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it like just dawned on her. That this whole time that was about Andy Kaufman. And I said, honey, they say Andy Kaufman in the lyrics. She goes, I know, but it never occurred to me. So anyway, revelation time. Speaking of revelations, yes. Let's do some emails brought to you by.
Emails are brought to you today by me again. I'd like to use the third segment to simply say thanks to Ross. He changed my life. He turned me from pre-diabetic, unhealthy slob to a lean and happy person. I'm not affiliated with him. I just want to spread the word. Get to rostraining.com, read the articles and the blog. Try a few workouts. Don't wait until the new year. If you want to change your life, the best time is now. Visit rostraining.com and start getting fitter. It's not easy, but if you want it, you can do it.
If you want it, you can do it. Come and get it.
But you better hurry because it's going fast.
Dude, that's really cool. So, thanks. Is it Travis? Hold on.
Yeah, he didn't say.
Up earlier, I think he did.
Oh, on the first one he did.
Did he? Was it the first one?
Lenny.
Congratulations on your transformation, man. That's freaking awesome. We were happy to do that for you today. Dear Smog.
I can't say Lenny without saying in a Joe Pantoliano, Joey Pants voice.
Yeah, Joey
Pants. Joey Pants from Memento. Lenny!
He's great.
He is great.
I know the steak isn't real.
No.
Yeah. Dear Smog and Bilbo.
Mm-hmm.
Can't believe that's the first time we've heard that.
I can't either, but it's funny.
Bob D. said, just wanted to wish you guys a very Merry Christmas. I've been a listener since the beginning. Used to listen to Current Geek. Welcome back, by the way. I am a retired police officer. A profession that tends to turn its members cynical and cold. I currently work for a large aquatic-based theme park in America's wiener. He means Florida.
A large aquatic-based theme park in America's wiener.
Mm. I wonder what that would be.
Some sort of world of oceans or world of seas or...
Pea-girled. I have an hour commute. After listening to you guys and the tadpole, I have learned it's okay to feel and not everyone is a jerk or has an agenda. You guys are real, kind, generous people, and the 500 show tribute proved as much that you, how much you are loved, and it made me cry. Oh, goodness.
Aww.
I am proud to be a part of the tadpool. I hope I can make it to Nerd Tabular. Looks like an autocorrect to me.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
With my son in the near future, thanks, or sorry for the long email, LSTS. Love the show, though, is what that is.
Nice.
Bob D. Bob, that's awesome. Thank you for that. We love hearing from people like you.
I hope you can make it out to Nerdtacular too, and we will welcome you with open arms.
And also, I always just get a little twinge of happiness and kind of just a nice warm feeling when people say they're going to bring their kids. When somebody says, I'm bringing my son this year, I don't know what it is. I'm a sucker for the kids, and have them come into that and having fun and seeing them enjoy that kind of thing. Just, I don't know. I don't know what it is.
Oh, yeah.
Turbine from Earthen Ring, AIE. Not to be confused with that hideous dude in New Jersey.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, I know migraines all too well, and I get them on the scale from annoyed to on a deathbed level. Things I have done are cold showers, cold washcloths, getting fresh air in the colder air, the better. Or the cooler air, the better. That's good for me here because it's nice and cold out. And just shutting the world off with deprivation of any senses I can isolate from use, such as complete darkness, lying on the floor, no sound or anything. Or anything that has a smell even remotely close. So no smells. As for caffeine, it will help, but dehydration will only make it worse. So more water, the better. I've had one bad one, and I still have to function. Typically, I use 2 to 4 Excedrin migraine, eat a candy bar, drink a soda, and follow it all up with much water as I can stand. So a little sugar, it sounds like.
Wow.
I love, I hope any of this helps. I live with them regularly, and it's never fun. Love the show, Turbine. Yeah, they're bad, and that day was a bad day for me.
Yeah,
I look back on it now and go, I got to do things to prevent that ever happening again. Because,
I don't know. It's funny. I don't know if I've ever had a migraine. I mean, I know people will probably say, "Well, if you've had one, you know." I've had really bad headaches, and I don't know what differentiates a migraine versus just a really bad headache.
Did you feel like super nauseous and almost kind of dizzy, a little vertigo?
Yeah, maybe a little bit.
All that, I think that qualifies.
Okay. All right. So
that's what mine would like. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure it's different for everybody. And I know, like, Kim's sister, Sarah, who was here earlier, she gets those kind of bad once in a while. And she's got to go in her room and nobody can make a peep or else she's just destroyed.
Wow.
It's awful.
Oh.
Greetings, Dunder and Mifflin. Got some more advice. Steve says, whenever I have a raging headache bordering on a migraine material, I put on my big gaming headphones, turn off the lights, and then sit in the healing power of heavy metal. usually Iron Fire, Megadeth, White Zombie, or Alice Cooper.
Wow.
Happy holidays, Steve.
Everybody's got their remedy.
I told you they would, right? Yeah. There's going to be emails full of like everything from... I didn't expect heavy metal, though.
No. Wow.
Crazy. So now is my favorite one. Ken. This is his solution.
Okay. All right.
Hey, Scott. You remember I emailed you a while back about the copper pyramid, that lets me dream the future? Well, I forgot to tell you it also cures migraines. The migraines are possibly caused by suppressed prophecies trying to escape your inner mind. Here's what you need to do. Get some copper plumbing pipe and make yourself a head pyramid. Dimensions don't necessarily matter as long as the base fits around your head and angles are at 45 degrees.
Well, it sounds like dimensions totally matter. If the base fits around your head and the angles are 45 degrees, that's what I would call...
Those are dimensions.
Dimensions, yeah.
You can mount the pyramid on one of those retainer straps or the CPAP mask. He says he has apnea and he wears a CPAP mask. I build headphones and a phone charger into mine because I want to listen to audiobooks and podcasts in bed. Kiss your migraines goodbye.
Wow.
He says that's a totally... He is not kidding around. Like, even the prophecy part. This dude's serious.
That's hilarious.
So, unless he's yanking my leg about not being serious or about being serious, then I have nothing other to do than to believe him. However...
I think he's joking. The sentence, the migraines are probably caused by suppressed prophecies trying to escape your inner mind.
It seems,
Yeah.
Fishy,
however,
right?
However, if you're serious, we don't mean to laugh at you.
Yeah. I may not believe you, but I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing near you.
You actually skipped one. One from Stunt Monkey. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let's do that one now. Good morning, S and B. What? Oh, that's spelled out like S and B.
Yeah, S and B.
The way I cure my migraines is to take double the recommended Panadol aspirin/aspirin just before you go to bed. Also smear garlic on either your foot or armpit. I know it sounds weird, but it really helps with coughing and making your head pain worse. I think what he means is it
really helps make your head pain worse.
I think he means the opposite of that.
Right.
Sent it from his iPad, so who knows? Stunt Monkey in the tadpole. So that's another thing. Garlic in your pits or your feet. The feet thing actually worked for me when I had a bad, bad cough. I think
I've
we talked
about
it
that.
Here.
That is a weird, that's such a weird thing. But
that I can't explain it.
Science.
And I didn't go into it placebo-like. Like I wasn't even aware Kim did it. Mm-hmm. She, I was feverish.
Oh,
I,
really?
I wasn't myself. Okay. And all I knew is I woke up kind of in a daze and I noticed that she's doing something with my feet. That's all I remember.
Interesting.
But I stopped coughing all night. So it wasn't like I went into it with a psychosomatic response or something. I had no idea. Right.
Weird.
So do what you will, folks. Do what you will.
Yeah.
That's it. We're done. Emails are great.
Make a head pyramid out of garlic.
Do it, dude. You've already got the CPAP. You can just hook all that up.
Right.
CPAP. It always reminds me of pap smear for some
reason.
CPAP. CPAP.
Yeah, it is a horrible name for a...
Yeah, for anything, really.
A needed device, but yes.
TheMorningStream@gmail.com is where you can send your own emails. Keep them short and interesting. It's likely they'll get read right here on the show. Mm-hmm. I'd like to thank AlphaGeekRadio.com for the live stream we get all week. Those guys are great. Thank you so much, guys. Frogpants.com/TMS for our show notes. I told you the email. You already know that. You can follow us on Twitter, MorningStream, Scott Johnson, and Coverville. And we'll have a show tomorrow. Therapy Thursday, finally. 2 weeks in a row without Wendy is too much.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't
and
see
And then
any...
it'll probably 2 weeks without a show.
Well, yeah, well...
maybe the second. We might be able to do one on the second. I'm guessing that the 26th, you're... Yeah, that's right. You're out.
I'm gone then.
Yeah, so...
But the following week, I'll be back, and she'll be back.
And I'll be back.
And you'll be back. Everyone will be back. Oh, wait. No, not that next week. Wait. Yes. No, we'll all be here. I don't know what we're doing.
Yes. The day after New Year's Day, we should be okay to,
we should be
to
fine.
Do a show.
We'll let you guys know if it changes. Brian, what do we do for now? Let's get out. Song.
What do we
song?
Do? What do we do for now?
What do we let do us, for now?
Let's do a dedication going out to Mullets in the Tadpoles. His name is Daniel. Hi, Bumblebee and Sidescrape. Hypothetical help reference on the last one there. First off, the Morning Stream has helped me through many a hard time. Losing my maternal grandmother, getting a blood clot in my leg, and losing my job didn't seem all that bad with you guys' company. Mm. Now I selfishly ask you to help again. About a month ago, my maternal grandfather got diagnosed with lung cancer. At first, the treatments helped, but a couple days ago, the doctors informed us that it is unlikely he will live to celebrate Christmas. Mm. My mother was diagnosed with depression and severe social anxiety back in 2006, and losing her mother 3 years ago really took its toll on her. I'm scared what might happen when her father passes soon. She's really been strong lately as her siblings have pushed all the responsibility of caring for their ill father over onto her. This song request is for her to let her know she is my superwoman, that it's okay to cry. I would like to request a cover of Five for Fighting Superman, preferably the Boyce Avenue acoustic version, but any version that Brian sees fit will do. Sorry for the wall of text. Love and well wishes, Daniel, a.k.a. Mullets in the Tadpole.
Wow.
So our hearts go out to you and your mom and your grandfather and hope that that everybody gets through this. And yeah, I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, that's rough, man. It's not like you just can. It's raining and it's pouring for him. That sucks. Ugh.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hopefully this small thing helps, I guess.
Exactly. So it's Superman, originally by Five for Fighting. This cover is done by Boyce Avenue for their 2011 collection, New Acoustic Sessions, Volume 2. And here it is.
All right. Here it is. Let's play it now. We'll be back tomorrow. Please come back with us, won't you?
Can't stand to fly. I'm not that naive. I'm just out to find the better part of me. I'm more than a bird. I'm more than a plane. I'm more than some pretty face beside a train. It's not easy to be me. I wish that I could cry, fall upon my knees, find a way to lie about a home I'll never see. It may sound absurd, but don't be naive. Even heroes have the right to bleed. I may be disturbed, but won't you concede? Even heroes have the right to dream. It's not easy to be me. Up a band. Tonight,
I'm not crazy or anything. I can't stand to fly. I'm not that naive. Men weren't meant to ride with clowns between their knees. I'm only a man in a silly red sheet, digging for kryptonite on this one-way street. Only a man in a funny red sheet, looking for special things inside of me, inside of me, inside of me, inside of me, inside of me. It's not easy to be me.
Visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
It's really a better tampon.
And it's not pudding.
No, this pudding is not pudding.